Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
Okay, welcome to hour two. We have finished our cane travel. We all made it back. That's good. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Sandy Halverson.
And good afternoon again for our last day this week. It's exciting to hear everybody's comments about learning so much. And so now we're going to give you some other information to
Gloria and Andrew just joined the meeting. Whoops,
to
Gloria has left.
Think about. Sorry, my computer keeps talking to me and I keep hitting the control so you don't hear it. I thought today what we would do is instead of having one final presenter, lots of us would share different information or just a brief tip. I had asked Duncan if she would be able to stay. Duncan is one of our board members, and she was not able to stay after her presentation, but she said that if she was to give a piece of advice, it would be to not give up. Don't just decide because you're losing your vision, your life is over, because there are lots of ways to do things. And she gave a great example of a woman who had been a professional seamstress, and she began losing vision and was concerned about how she was going to be able to do things. So Duncan met with her, showed her a few tips and tricks on threading needles, and I don't know what else she showed her, but Duncan saw her in a meeting a week later, and the woman was wearing this gorgeous blouse that she had made.
Hey, sis, I was just returning your call.
Excuse me, if you could mute, that would be helpful. So she was able to incorporate what Duncan had taught her and get on with doing what was her passion. So that's just an example of one of the things that somebody did with just a little conversation and learning a different technique or two. So Glenn, as we announced earlier, Glenn Crosby is our president. So I'm sure Glenn has something to share with us.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. In our senior division, we work with a broad range of people, different backgrounds and so on, and we engage in quite a variety of activities. But one group that we come in contact with and come and join us regularly are veterans who are seniors and who have gone blind or losing their eyesight. And so they come with a variety of issues, but one thing that we always try to do is within the National Federation of the Blind, we have a defined or a division of blind veterans. And so we try to make sure that those veterans connect with our veterans division. And they get together and they talk about issues that are very common to veterans. For example, navigating the VA system and so on and so on and so on. I've never been there, but I know something about some of the things that they do share with one another. But our division also does, we have been working on not so much directly related to the veteran themselves, but veterans' families have access to medical care, and if they qualify. And as you might suspect, that some of these people age, they lose their eyesight, and they need their prescription medication to have accessible prescription labels on them. And we learned over a year ago that the service will not provide medical accessible medical
how are you today
accessible medication labels. So
yes, I am interested.
So we began to work on that. We're still working on it. We haven't gotten it done yet.
Excuse me, somebody needs to mute because we're hearing an additional conversation.
We haven't finished working with the accessible prescription labels, but we're continuing to work on it, and hopefully in the very near future, the families of veterans who need it will be able to get their free prescriptions, and that will include accessible prescription labels. So that's just a kind of a quick thing that we do with the veterans.
Thank you very much. Janie, we all think about Janie as a tech. Woohoo, Janie. But there are other things that Janie does. Janie, you want to share one of those with us?
Sure. So I was a teacher by profession, and I still am always teaching. And one of the things I like to talk about with students is we have to take you from where you are and move you forward, whatever that means. And everybody moves forward in a different way, in a different pattern, in a different time. So when people call up and want advice, or I'm calling for my mother, she lost her vision, she's 86. And then I talk to that person, and she starts to complain about everything, which is understandable. She's trying to get adjusted to it. And I say, you know what the ADA is? And she says, yeah, the American Disabilities Act. I said, it is. It's also anger, denial, and acceptance. Right now you're in a very angry state. And for me to share with you all the lovely things I can tell you about being blind, and there are lovely things about it. And she said, there can't be anything lovely about being blind. And I said, I could tell you one right now. I can't see you. I can't tell what you're wearing. I can't tell what race you are or religion. I can only tell how you make me feel. And right now you're making me feel sad because you're attacking. And that's not a good feeling. So we have control of that. So the ADA is a good thing. That's what I use a lot. Anger, denial, and acceptance. And until you get to acceptance, then when you get there, I can tell you that there is life after blindness. And it's wonderful because we have techniques to do almost everything that you want to do. And that's my words of wisdom.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Judy, our timekeeper, is also a teacher by profession a long time ago, has done a lot of other things in her life. And Judy, what do you have for us?
Well, a couple of things. I don't know, Glenn may want to get back to this a little bit more. One of the things that all of you should watch for, you should sign up for our listserv that we told you about, and we'll go through it again tomorrow probably. But the reason you should is that you will then know about conference calls, Zoom calls that we do, and we're going to try to do them once a month, I think. And also, our Minnesota affiliate invites you the third Tuesday of every month through the winter. They'll do. You can join that call too. And so you get information much like you've gotten here. But the other thing that I was going to tell you about is the real reason that that Sandy said I should talk to you is to tell you about something in my life that could affect you, or maybe it doesn't. And so what I'm talking about is a couple of years ago, my sister had a heart attack, and she and I lived together, and we did. And so she, you know, we called the ambulance and they came and they took her to the hospital and they got her straightened out and She was ready to come home. And they told her that she was eligible for home care because she'd had this heart attack. They also sent her home with 14 meals, but they were awful. So when they first started to come visit her, they saw me. And they said, did you want to sign up for this? And I said, no, thank you, because I have been going to the doctor and when I need to. And they only asked me if I'd just been her sister and I was fully sighted, they would not have said I should be included in that. They also wouldn't have said it if they hadn't, if I just walked in. So I knew that I wasn't supposed to be eligible because blindness, that doesn't get you that sort of thing. And then a couple of months later, I was seriously ill in the hospital and the same thing happened. And then I decided, you know, I now have situations that I have to be careful of, and I am going to take them up on this offer. And it had nothing to do with blindness. I don't know that they understand that, but it's true that it you know, that you got to know when to say yes and when to say no. And each person is different about that, but that's what I want to share.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Shelley.
Yes.
Yes. I think you know a little bit about sewing, as I recall, and you said something about we hadn't talked about that. And maybe there might be people who need to learn to sew on a button.
Now, there you go. I did mention that. Now, I'm not Susie Seamstress myself. However, Miss Duncan Larson has been a sewing instructor for me in the past, years and years ago. And I did make a dress once. Now, I don't remember wearing it, but I did make it. I was proud that I had gone through the paces. And I thought, we'll do needle threading. And there are a couple of simple things that people can do. If you happen to have been a seamstress and just now don't know, can't see the patterns or whatever. So I might talk a little bit about that too. As far as needle threading, there are these handy little gadgets from, and you can purchase them at a regular sewing store. You can get them from Walmart and you can get them from our independent market at our national center. And they are called wire loop needle threaders. And they have come usually in a little tiny miniature Ziploc bag or on a card. If you get them from the independent market, sometime they're in a Ziploc bag. If you get them from a sewing store or whatever, they're on a card that's got the plastic on the front of it. But it's in the sewing or craft section. And they're... It looks like a little arrow, a little wire arrow, and it's attached to a little small handle that's some kind of flimsy metal. I don't know what it exactly is. But that little tiny wire, if you have a needle and it's in a pin cushion, you can find the hole of the eye of the needle by flicking the tip of this wire loop threader. And it'll kind of catch in the middle where the eye of the needle is. Now, sometimes you can feel where the eye is by putting your, I'm right-handed, putting your left index finger behind this. And you can feel where it's flat on one side. And if you turn the needle to the side, it would just be straight up and down. So it's on that flat side. And you flick the wire loop into the eye of the needle, and you push gently, and you can push the wire through the eye, then you put the thread through the wire, then you take the wire back out through the eye of the needle, keeping track of the part that got looped around the wire and the part that is coming out of the needle. You want to be able to pull out that wire slow enough that you can feel the two ends of the string, and you remove the wire, and hopefully you've cut the other string from the spool of thread, but you tie the two together, and voila, you've threaded a needle. And I've used it for hemming up things like, it probably doesn't look the prettiest, but I wear them around the house. They're kind of these casual workout type pants or something like that. I'm pretty short, so I'm forever hemming things. And my grandma is no longer with me, who usually did that. So I've been able to just kind of pin up with a tape measure, I guess, figure out how many inches and put some straight pins around how far you want the item hemmed up, and then proceed to just use your needle in and out and sew up an item, or thread a button, put a button on a coat or piece of clothing or whatever. And for the buttons, you want to keep track how many holes there are in the buttons, and you start at one specific part. If it's a four-hole button, you just go around and make a little square. Go up one, and you go any direction around, but you keep track of which hole you're in and hit all the holes. And then at the end, you place your thread, your needle. Hopefully you still have a long enough piece of thread. You put the needle on the back side of the button where you've sewn it onto an article of clothing. You put your needle through that little bundle of thread, start to pull it out, and since there's leftover thread on the needle, you tuck that needle through that extra bunch of thread and pull it taut, and that secures your button on your article of clothing. So I've just walked you through basically how to thread a needle. Now, some people say, well, this sounds good, but it's super hard to do. Yes, it can be very frustrating. So if you really wrestle with it for a while, it doesn't make sense, you don't get anywhere, keep your needle, keep your thread, put it in a pin cushion, and walk away from it. And another hour or two, or another afternoon, go back and tackle it again. And it's frustrating, but it is the biggest joy when you finally figure it out. It'll just really be helpful. And as far as a pattern, I'll say that real quickly. If you know about patterns, you know about masking tape, you can have a reader person, if you're feeling uncertain about doing this, cut the pattern pieces out. They've got a shape to them. You line the edges of the pattern with masking tape, which makes it stiffer. And then you can pin that onto your material. And then you can proceed cutting out your pieces of material with the pattern attached to it. And you use straight pins. Just pin the piece of pattern onto the material with straight pins and then just cut around it. Now, after that, you'd have to know how to go about putting the thing together. But if you know that much, and you've been a seamstress. And the other thing you can use a threader for is threading your sewing machine. Put the threader into the sewing machine, and that's how you can put it from, I'm not going to use the correct terms maybe, but the spindle up on top, and you thread it down through where the mechanism is and down into the needle, and to get the threaded through the needle, you use a wire loop needle threader. And so sometimes knowing those few little tricks can really help people out. So,
audio melon.
What I was going to describe.
And you did. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I guess for me, what I was going to describe has been talked about a little bit, but in the county where I live, there is an organization that's called Arlington Neighborhood Village. It has lots of volunteers, and you can request volunteers for a variety of things. Now, here, there is a fee attached to it, and it's income-based. But speaking of readers, my husband is also blind, and one of the things we were looking for was somebody to come and do, maybe every couple of weeks, go through mail. Sometimes you do have to send a check because there's not a way to make a payment. You can't pay that particular bill online. So we have that person do that. Sometimes I ask her to check expiration dates because I can read all kinds of stuff, but I don't know where the expiration date is buried, but it seems to be hidden someplace whenever I'm looking. And you can also request from this service somebody to go shopping with you. If you want to go to Costco, for instance, or Sam's Club or Whole Foods or grocery shopping or whatever it is you might want to do, and you want somebody to go who really likes shopping, that's a fun thing too. So, and they also do provide transportation to doctor's appointments. They will wait with you. They will go in with you if that's what they'll wait for you. They'll go in with you if that's what you want them to do, or they'll just wait until you're finished. And, you know, but the thing that has just really fascinated me about this service is of all of the people we have worked with and in the variety of capacities that we have contacted Arlington Neighborhood Village for assistance of some kind or another, blindness has never been an issue. They don't ask us, how do you do that? Oh, be careful of those steps. They just do whatever it is that we have asked them to do. And if it's, I'll meet you outside, they call and say, I'm outside. Or they'll come up and ring the doorbell if that's what you want them to do. So it just kind of depends. Great service. So now that we've shared our little tricks and or a few tips and tricks, because we know more, it's your turn to ask questions. And if you just want to say your name and be acknowledged, you can ask a question and we'll see which of us can answer it.
This is Judith.
Judith.
I pay my bills by check. I always have. And I balance my checkbook to the penny, and I get all my checks back for documentation from the bank. So I'm starting to have some difficulty seeing the checkbook, to balance the checkbook. And I guess I went and had an appointment with a fiduciary, but I'd have to turn over power of attorney to the, and that costs some money. And plus my son is my fiduciary, but he lives overseas.
We need someone to mute.
Yep.
Unless that's
good. Oh, yes.
Yep. Please mute yourself. Thank you.
Judith,
Wondering, I guess I'm sort of looking around maybe for people at church or something that might be able to help me with that. But that's becoming an issue, and I don't do online. I don't do financial transactions online. I do have a few bills taken out of a credit card. just because they're the same amount, they're small and they're the same amount, like Dish or Earthlink or something like that. But other than that, I don't do much at all.
There are large print check registers. I don't know if you have seen those or not. That might make it easier. And you can also use, there's a thing that's called a Bravo pen. And I'm told that that is very much like a fine tipped pen rather than the 2020s that give you a good bold line, but they don't look like a regular writing pen.
Yeah, it's the ledger with the pencil. I use a pencil, so if I make a mistake, I can erase.
And I think I would work with people from church whom you trust, and I wouldn't sign off. I wouldn't sign over responsibility, anything, anybody yet.
No, I think it was really if I went into a hospital and I wasn't coming out or something like that.
This is Judy. The
Judy?
other thing that you probably should consider, maybe your church, but sometimes you might prefer to have someone that you could interview that you don't know yet. Because if someone at your church, unless you know you can trust them, they may be, you want to make sure that they will not be talking to others about, oh, guess what I did with Judith? You know,
Yeah, thank you.
that's a thing to worry about. So, however, if you say call an employment office at a university and say, I'm looking for a student that is responsible, and you then as a reader, and then you can interview them. And if once you decide you like the person, you say, now you have to understand that you're going to be reading mail to me and you're going to be helping me with bills, and you don't tell anybody, even if you think it's non-controversial. What you read to me, you just share with me. It doesn't go any farther. So make
Yeah,
sure they
thank you.
understand that.
Not to be a yes, but students move on with their lives. But anyway, I
Well,
also
they
just
do.
wanted to
Of course they
mention,
do, but then you get another one.
I wanted to mention that last night I was watching PBS, which I don't usually do for some reason. And I don't know if you were aware there was a show on called Taylor. I don't know if you're aware of that. And it was about the Colorado School for the Blind. So it was really sort of
No.
interesting. I don't know if
I
anybody
wonder if
here
that
is.
was a local show in your
Yeah.
PBS.
Yeah, and I guess it's too bad that what's her name? Duncan is not here, but yeah, it was about this, it was 30 minutes and it was about this young lady's, she had some kind of tumor in her brain and she went blind and she made it had a whole thing about the Colorado School for the Blind and how they helped her to make a film. She was a
Are you
filmmaker.
sure it wasn't the Colorado Center for the Blind?
Well, the one that I go to, the one that Colorado Center for the Blind
Center.
in
Yeah.
Littleton on Shepherd Avenue.
Yes. Is that
Yeah.
what it was?
So, I mean, it was just sort of interesting because during
No,
that time, she also.
I'm asking you, was it the Colorado Center for the Blind that was in that show, or was it the Colorado School for the Blind for children?
In Colorado Springs.
No, this was in Littleton where I live
Okay,
in.
so it's the one, yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
Shepherd Avenue, right.
Very interesting.
And she also got pregnant during that time, so she ended up having a baby and they
Okay,
were
that's
teaching
probably
her.
more information than we need on this call
Yeah.
right now.
But
Save
anyway, it
that
was
for
just
the
sort of
next
interesting that it
hour.
came on. It was timely. Timely. Yeah.
Thank you, Judith. Let's see if other people have questions.
Shelley?
Shelley?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I lost my thought a minute. Another idea that my husband does, because he's very much the one that keeps up with money and bills and all that kind of thing, and he's meticulous about keeping track of stuff as well. He makes a Word document on his computer and just lists what the bills are, and then every how much the amount is, what's paid on what date, and but it's more of a Word document, but he's got it on the computer, and that's how he does the finances. And then he calls the bank on the phone and finds out, ours is all verbal, and you can find out what your
Oh, yeah, I do
what
that.
bills have gone through, what checks have been paid, how much money you've got in the bank, all that kind of thing. But he puts it all in a Word document on the computer and keeps up with it that way. So that therefore the Word document, you can, you've got the speech of the computer and all that kind of thing. So that might be another idea for people.
Yeah, I have a Word document I created with all my bills, and I just check them off as I pay them. But I have found errors that the bank makes. So that's why I go over my statement and I get all my checks back as documentation when they were cashed. And so, yeah,
Yeah.
Anyway, but thank you.
Oh, well, yeah. And there's reasons for everything.
Shall we see who else might have questions? Tell us who you are.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Just
Is it
tell us
Beth?
who you are.
This is Beth. Did somebody else?
Okay.
I
Beth,
didn't.
it's your turn.
Yep.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to know is, I got some long-term care insurance, for like nursing home stuff, and I got it a long time ago. And in order to qualify for it, I had to specifically exclude things that might be related to blindness, like grocery shopping, reading, and stuff like that. And I kind of assumed that, well, I'll pay for those out of pocket, then I'll get to the point where I need this other stuff, so it won't matter that much. But now I'm finding that I need a little bit more of the blindness specific help, and of course that doesn't qualify under my insurance policy. And I just wondered if anybody else had been in that kind of situation, and if what other things I might explore to get the kind of help that I need. I just, I guess I just didn't think about that there might be a time that I might, need more than I had, and you know what I'm saying. So, just didn't know if anybody had any ideas on that.
Well, this is Sandy, and it would seem that a good starting place would be your county area agency on aging, because they may have programs for seniors that would offer the kind of services you're looking for at no cost.
Yeah, that is something that might sort of fill in the gaps that where
Right.
my yeah, I mean I do I mean I'm not down to my last dime, but I just I was trying to plan for everything, and this just didn't quite work out. Well, thank you. That's certainly an idea.
Are there other questions?
Stuart, do you see any hands?
Nope, I don't see any hands.
Okay, and
This is Vincent.
Vincent.
Vincent, you have the floor.
Yes, just going back to the payment of bills and the like. What I have done is that I have I access my credit card. I only have two of them. And I access my credit cards on a regular basis, if not daily, every third day at least, just to make sure that there are no charges that I didn't make or that somebody else made that were not authorized. And doing that, I have found out a couple of instances over the years where it paid to be so. I don't know. I guess I have a persecution trauma or something like that, that I feel that anytime something will happen, something can happen, and it can happen, it will happen. But I also have my I check my bank accounts online, and what I have tried to do is to have as many bills deducted automatically from my checking account, such as gas, electricity, car payments, things like that. So I don't have to when I need help, writing checks, then I can ask one of my sons or a friend to write them for me. But that will be very infrequent to do that, and I find that very helpful. And I always check also my accounts to make sure that the bank has not made a mistake. And for example, today I have an appointment later on. Actually, I'm going to have to leave this retreat because I have an appointment with one of the banks because there's a deduction that I want to clarify. And also, I want to see what the see the options are. But like I said, I use a combination of the digital, the electronic, and physical checks as needed. As far as having a third person do it on a regular basis, that scares me. I mean, They may be well-intentioned. We may think that they are, you know, good people and the like. But I also had a very bad episode with somebody that was a respected member of the church, and I lost a substantial amount of money. So just because you know them, it doesn't mean that they are good people. It's always good to have a third party. And the last thing is that I also have a will where, you know, if I become incapacitated, then I have my daughter and then my two other sons as people that can enact legally on my behalf, both as far as my health is concerned and as far as my financials are concerned.
This is Eureka.
Eureka?
Ed, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. My mom used to tell me all the time, because what I used to do, I did open up a Word document, and what I used to do, I used to put the amount that I started off with, and every time I would spend something, no matter what it was, I would deduct it from that amount, and I would go right in there and write it down, you know, and have deducted and put the new balance. And she would always tell me, she said, well, she would tell me all the time that, you know, that she was wondering, how did I do that? Because I would do my account down to the penny. And I said, you know, that was my way of keeping up with what I have, because then that way I can't overspend. Because, you know, I always know what I have. So if I have any extra, you know, and I spent anything, I still know what I have left extra to spend. Mm-hmm. But now I have my cards on my phone, and every time something is spent, it would send me a notification of what was charged.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I don't understand something, then I'm, you know, of course I'm going to be calling.
Good enough. Okay, so I've got a different question. I don't know about you, but in my house, the ceilings are really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the smoke detector went off. There was nothing burning. Nobody was near the stove. It just went off. What could I do? Then I'll tell you what I did. Any thoughts?
This is Judith.
A broom handle.
This is the reason I do not have smoke detectors.
What?
I do not have smoke detectors, because if they go off, I have no way to get to them. And then I don't know how to open up the battery thing and take the batteries out. I mean, this is before I even was losing my sight. It was just an issue of not wanting to fall on in the middle of the night.
Comment, Janie Degenshine. Yes, you can have your fire department come, and they can install it wherever you can reach. They can show you how to put the batteries in. That's their job. And you know, it's in our state in New Jersey, that's a must. You have to have a smoke detector.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know about Colorado, and I'm not calling Colorado on Judith's behalf, but believe me. But the point is, to not have one, I think, is detrimental. I mean, you can do whatever you want, folks, but that's just an idea. Obviously, I wouldn't want to put it very high either, but you can put them in certain spots. As long as your firemen come in, they'll do it gratis, and they'll show you where to do it. And our firemen actually gave me two smoke detectors. So you might want to think about that as an option.
This is Vincent.
Yes, Vincent.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why sometimes they go off by themselves is they start beeping when the battery is low.
Yes, that's correct.
That's where you get a beeping, and there is no smoke, there is nothing. But right. It also pays to have to get acquainted with your neighbors. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4 neighbors that I can call at any time, and they will come and do things with me or for me or answer questions, and especially in case of an emergency or something like that. And I also have, I was listening yesterday to the gentleman that was telling us about, you know, fixing things. I am in complete awe. I was never, you know, very handy with tools right. and all that, but I used to do a lot of things by myself. But now what I have, I found this sent from heaven handyman that I can call, and fortunately he doesn't live too far from here, and he knows that I've known him for probably 20 years or something like that, and that whenever there are issues, there are situations, he's my go-to person.
Right. So we have three answers. One, not have any. Two, ask your fireman. Three, make friends. And now what did Sandy do? I'm curious.
Well, I got to tell you, this was not the battery beeping. I know what that sounds like. This was, you have a raging fire in your house, squalling. And I thought, oh, no, I cannot put up with this. So I, called 911. And I said, I'm sorry, this is not an emergency, but I think you can hear what is going on in my home. And they heard it. And I said, we really need somebody. The ceilings are too tall. Neither of us is going to get on a ladder. We're seniors. And what do I do? And they said exactly what Jane said, that your fire department would come. They actually got people to come because we live close to National Airport. They got a truck to come from National Airport, and these guys came in, and they confirmed what I had said, that there was no smoke, there was no fire, nobody was in danger. They tested for carbon monoxide, and there wasn't any. And they went to change batteries, and their batteries in the truck were dead. So then they called. They called a different, the one guy happened to know the Arlington fire chief, and he called him and said, can you help? I mean, and it was very clear. It was not an emergency. Mm-hmm. There was no way you could tolerate that. And I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now it's all good.
At least they took the batteries out, so it was quiet for a little while.
Well, yeah, but then they did put in some new batteries.
Yes, good. Well, you're safe. That was a good question.
I'm not getting up there, Stuart.
Thank you for meeting that. Stuart's on the bowl there.
Yeah.
Good.
So other questions?
There were no hands up. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Jerika. I do have a question that somebody was asking me to ask. I thought about too.
Who's this?
Jerika.
Yes, go ahead.
So after this retreat, and I know that we will be getting, flash drive or whatever, with the recordings of the retreats or whatever, with the retreat.
Yes.
So people that weren't able to attend for whatever reason, and if they want to, if they wanted something like that, how would they go about getting that information?
We can answer that. I think the senior division is selling them for $10. Is that correct?
Yes.
But keep in mind, everybody, it probably will take a couple of months before we can actually, maybe even longer, before we can put it together.
Well,
I don't think it's going to take that long this time.
Let's say that it is, because that's okay. What we said last year. So let's that'll be nice. But
okay, I can tell you that Mac has already done Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. They're already editing.
That's okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can surprise us.
I'm going to surprise you, Judy. Don't worry.
This is going to be on my docket all the time. Because we've been doing this for 4 years, and it hasn't happened. And so that's why I don't want anyone else to get excited and then say, where is it?
Well, we'll discuss it offline. But anyway,
Jane, have a couple of hands up.
Thank you. I saw iPhone.
I see iPhone and then Judith.
Very good.
The iPhone is Patrice.
Patrice, go right ahead, honey.
I was going to say that I just had the fireman department to come into my home, and they put fire alarms in every one of my rooms. And they mentioned that the batteries do not have to be changed for every 10 years.
There are different ones. I think there's some that do, don't
they? Yeah, they're new kinds.
That's helpful.
Ours are wired into the electrical grid.
Exactly. Not in electrical, because I do have the electrical, which is the original part of my house. And they'll come. And she said also that they'll come back every 10 years and put new batteries in them.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Sandy. Ours were supposed to be 10 year as well, and they were not. So I don't know what that was all about. And then it was discovered that we had two that were defective, and I was able to take those back to Costco and return them and got our money back.
Well, this is from the fire department themselves. They came and installed them.
Absolutely. It's a great way to go.
Yeah.
Very good.
And it's a program that they have in our area that they will come to your home and install those fire alarms. Good. So you may want to contact your local fire department and see if they have that available.
Yep.
This is Patty. I wanted to go back to what Eric was asking about the thumb drive.
Let's let Judith go ahead first because she's got her hand raised.
I forgot. Sorry.
I thought of that when you said you're sending out a USB. I'm having trouble fit the USB into the side of the computer because I can't see the holes anymore.
Can you feel
where the USBs go in?
Can you feel it?
Well, I've got so many different things going in. I've got 5 portals on this computer. Well, and I also have a USB to charge my cell phone. I don't have a smartphone, people. I have a flip phone. So,
that's okay. That's right.
But I know that the thing is supposed to go with 2 lines on the bottom on the cell phone. So I look for those 2 lines, which I can still see.
Well, if you know where to put the USB in for your phone, if you take that USB out and put ours in, there's only 1 or 2 ways it can go, one way or the other. And it'll only go in one way.
So just take out...
Yeah,
I'll have to find another port. Yeah.
And the other thing is what you can do is just go along your ports and just keep them. It's kind of trial and error. You go through and say, which one will this go into? And you just try it. Don't push hard because you could wreck something, but just try it. And then you have to flip it. Most of those you got to flip because it only goes in one way. But eventually you're going to find which ones are USB, and they're usually multiple ones.
I think I'm afraid I'm going to break the thing.
Don't do it hard. Just do it real soft and just try it. And if it goes in, you got a USB.
It's Janie. I have another option, which I think is actually easier, and you'll be able to, it'll be portable. If your state library has the digital talking book player, it can be played on that. Not only that, but in the middle, there's a mode. It's a button that you press and it says file, folder. You put it on file and you can hear each segment separately. So if you want to hear Duncan the first day, that's the first file. If you didn't need to do that and you want to go to the second file, you press the right arrow, which will bring you to the second file, the third file. Just keep pressing the arrow.
Wait a minute. What says file? You mean it says it out loud?
Hold on. Yes. Do you have a digital player?
Yes.
Yeah. So in the digital player, the mode, which is in the middle, right underneath where the speaker is, you'll feel the speaker, the next level across, has a mode button, unless you have a basic basic player. You set it to file, or you can set it to folder, but I set it to file. There'll be probably 27 files. Number 1.
You have a different model than I do, because
I probably have the basic and I have the advanced.
But still,
it doesn't matter because it's set to go one to the next to the next.
Yeah.
So you can put it in your book player and let it play from there. And then you can speed up or slow down or whatever it is. So the thumb drive basically can go in your computer or in your book player. And if you don't have a book player, call the library, get one. They're wonderful. They're free.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So remember, she's talking about the Library for the Blind, not your public library.
Correct.
Oh, I did not know that. Where is the Library for the Blind?
Well, your state library. Talk to Duncan if you don't know. So you have to have a state library that services blind. I think she called it deaf, blind, and something else.
Print disabled.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And Patty had a question before.
Yes, she did. And thank you, Patty, for waiting so patiently.
Sure. Am I still unmuted?
Yes, honey.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Eureka and everybody else, in our wonderful, The wonderful $50 fee, which is worth, you know, obviously more than that, you'll get your own thumb drive. And if you want extras or anyone else wants them, it'll be the $10. Isn't that correct? Correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Sure. Yes. Thank you. Stuart, who else?
There's no one else. I don't see any hands raised.
Okay.
We still have time. This is Sandy's hour. Sandy, what do you want to do next? Want to open up another did you ever, or one of those kinds of questions?
Well, I haven't thought of another one.
We could do the daily connection.
Oh,
why don't we then end this section, this segment, because I think it's pretty close to.
Yeah, 150.
Yeah. Sure, and then everybody.
About 8 minutes, but that's okay. We can do
and
that.
Everybody can help Judy with the daily connection. It is the last day, and I think maybe people are getting a little.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.